What I'm going to talk to you about today may not be your favorite subject, fasting. Since next Sabbath you'll be fasting, at least I think most of you will be. Mr. Clyde Tilo, our new president, has asked the church worldwide to fast together about the growth of the church and the work of God. I want to try to make fasting a little bit more enjoyable for you. Now, I don't like to fast. I don't know about you. I like to eat and drink. I like food and water and drink. But I want to try to make it more enjoyable for you by reviewing again what fasting is and how it works and why it works and how you can plan it in your life so that it isn't something, oh, no, I know I need to fast, but I really don't want to and I'm too busy and it's hot and dry and I'm thirsty and I'm working so hard and all the human reasons. I'm going to, at the end of my sermon, I just want to share with you some of the tips that I've learned over the years about fasting that can help make fasting more enjoyable, something that you look forward to doing, if that's possible, to look forward to fasting. Because fasting means you plan a time when you're going to not eat and not drink for a period of time. So let's begin, because God's Word does have inspiration in it, and I'd like to begin with reviewing with you, and this is what is so motivating, to see how fasting works and how God responds to fasting. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And first of all, first reason I've got here is to give you of why we should fast is to follow the example and teaching of Jesus Christ. Follow the teaching and example of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, no, I mean, pardon me, Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Here's where Jesus said, in his teaching to the disciples and to all of us, he says, now, when you fast, I mean, it's very obvious there that he's assuming then that we will, because he doesn't say if, as you know. He's saying, when you fast. And we're going to take a look at what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't lay out, you have to fast this often, you have to fast this long. But I think we can come up with what works good in fasting. You know, fasting is like prayer. It's like Bible study. It's like meditating and thinking deeply about God's way. It's like meditation. It's one of those spiritual disciplines or tools, if you want to call it that. Fasting is a means or a way that a person can choose to use for some very beneficial purposes, as we're going to see. And God, as we will see, responds incredibly to people who are so serious about him that they're even willing to give up food and water for a while, because he knows, he made it, how much we enjoy it and need it. Fasting shows we're serious about something, really serious. So beginning here, it says, when you fast, you don't be like the hypocrites. In other words, they like people to see them fasting and to know they're fasting. They go around with a sad countenance. You know, they act sad. They look sad. Woe is me. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. And I say to you, they have their reward. They're not going to get one from me, God says. So we certainly don't want to be fasting to impress people, anyone. The purpose of fasting, as we will, well, which is we're going to find out and review again and then just see how we can do better at it, each of us. And I need to do better, too. I want to improve in my spiritual life doing this effectively. It's a powerful tool when we use it. And verse 17, Jesus said, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, say to God, who is in the secret place. Say, God is in heaven, and his holy throne, or the holy city, that's where he is. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now there is right away a promise from God that if we are privately, quietly, planning in our lives, as the Bible shows us, teaching that we are fasting in the way God wants us to, for the right reasons and the right attitude, there will be rewards from God that wouldn't be there if we don't fast. In other words, people who don't want to fast, don't like to fast, can't be bothered to fast, and that's really easy for that to happen, are not going to receive some of the blessings and rewards that will come if they are a person who is privately fasting to their God for the biblical reasons that we're going to cover today. Because God looks down and he sees all things, and he sees that person is praised and they study, but that person also is using what I've given in my word, another tool, fasting, for the right reasons. And God says, I'm going to reward them openly. There will be a difference in the life of a person who is also a fasting person. Let's look at Matthew 4, Christ's example. He had a big trial coming up. He's going to be tested and tempted by Satan the devil. And what did he do to prepare for that? Well, I think we're quite familiar with that. Chapter 4, Matthew, verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He had to prove himself that he could resist the direct, powerful temptations and influences of the devil. And when he, Christ, had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I always kind of chuckle at this verse, because it says, and afterward he was hungry, and I say, yeah, I guess he was, you know. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, I think he would have been hungry. Now, what would happen to you and me if we tried that, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? We'd die. I mean, total, complete fasting? I doubt if there are too many human beings in the kind of health today that Jesus was. Outstanding health, and also had God's help in this special way, but that was a complete fast that he did. And the tempter came to him and said, you know, and he's obviously very hungry, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And you know the story. Christ, time after time, rebuked him with the word of God. By quoting scripture, he rebuked the devil. And he said, it is written, and he's quoting here Deuteronomy 8:3, quoting the Bible, rebuking the devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so some of the words that proceed from the mouth of God are about how to fast and fasting. And I hope this sermon will help you to prepare and be ready and have a truly effective fast next Sabbath. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now here's an incredible example here of a widow. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. Anna the prophetess. Luke 2, 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So she had been married 7 years and then was widowed. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years old. Notice what I'm emphasizing here. It says that she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers continually, regularly, at different times, all the time. But God recorded this scripture, this short little two verses here about this woman. Because here she was, you know, a widow that probably didn't have the energy and the strength to do a lot of things. But what she did do is she knew how to use fasting to serve God, to go to God humbly through fasting, and to pour out her heart and to beseech God concerning his church, his work, his plan, his purpose. And God used her. And she became well known. So my main point here is, here is a woman of age, and I'm going to talk about at the end of my message, I won't go into details now, but one of the important things about fasting is you really need to be aware of your health. We're going to talk about each of you, your health. I know what I can do in fasting. Somebody else might be able to do this or that. We're not all the same health-wise. For some people, fasting really is easier than for others. But I'll talk about that later. And God will expect more of those that He knows it is easier for them to fast, their metabolism, their health, and all. And some people who have to be very careful when they fast. I had one man, back in the 80s, 1980s, he had diabetes, and he was not wise, and he went into a diabetic coma, and he died. So you can kill yourself with fasting, too. So, but that's something to come up later. So the first point I'm bringing out here about fasting is that one simple but important reason that we need to do it is to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to follow His teaching that we should fast, because it's a good discipline, a good spiritual discipline that God has given us. It's good for us. And it is a way to serve. It is a way that we demonstrate to God that we're deeply sincere. But the second reason that I'd like to give you is this. They all kind of tie in. Another reason for fasting, setting a goal for fasting, is to humble ourselves and seek a closer relationship with God. Maybe we're not really fully satisfied or happy or content with your walk with God or your relationship with God. And you know, there isn't anything in life more important, is there, than walking with God and having a close relationship with God. Let's look at a few scriptures that show how we can use fasting by humbling ourselves and drawing closer to God, seeking God. Turn with me to Psalm 35. Psalm chapter 35. We use this scripture during the Day of Atonement, Psalm 35. Verse 12 says, speaking of his enemies, David says, they reward me evil for good, to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, even when his enemies were sick, he said, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled myself with fasting. So the Bible clearly shows, this is only one example of where this is used, but where it shows and where David, God's servant, said, remember, a man after my own heart, David, where David said, I humbled myself with fasting. So we can use fasting, then, to humble ourselves before God. Now, another good example of this is Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Another outstanding example in Scripture of a man that God loved greatly, Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, those verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no wine, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. So he was probably pretty isolated until all 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel was fasting here for 3 full weeks, seeking God. And notice in verse 12, drop down to verse 12. An angel came to Daniel. His name was Gabriel. And Gabriel is identified in chapter 9, verse 21 as the angel here. Gabriel, the angel. And then in verse 12, Gabriel said to Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So there are scriptures and examples like this, David, Daniel, and there are others that show that when we will take the time, and it does take time and planning, as we're going to see, and planning effectively to use this tool, like these men and women of Scripture, to humble ourselves before our God, to say, Father, I'm coming before you, my God, because I want a closer walk with you. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Now let's look at the New Testament. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 8 and verse 10. Verse 8 and 10. James 4, verse 8. Where James wrote, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts and your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Notice verse 10 then. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." So just remember then this, that one of the second reasons for fasting is we humble ourselves before God. Now imagine, what if one of your children, say if you had children or grandchildren, if you do, what if one of your children was so deeply sincere about something and just wanting your blessing as a parent or a grandparent or whatever, wanting your help, your blessing, and your life, that they did something like this? I mean, it would, you know, move your heart. And when we use fasting and come to our God and humble ourselves before Him and seek a closer walk with God, as it says, James wrote, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." It works. It is a tool that will really work, and God will respond, just like He sent Gabriel to respond to Daniel's prayer and fasting. And you see that in Scripture, that God, I don't know if He'll send an angel, but God will hear and He will heed and He will intervene. So it's another good reason to fast regularly, is to be humble before God and to seek Him and to ask His blessing, closer relationship. Let's look at a third reason brought out in Scripture. And all these reasons will just remind us of why it needs to be a part of our lives. This third reason I'm going to bring out is we need to fast occasionally to confess our sins. That is, to repent before God, to confess our sins, and to ask Him for forgiveness. Days of Unleavened Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, you know, we learn a lot of lessons about this. But let's look at a few of the examples again in Scripture that show how God responds, how it moves God when someone is so, God, I want so much to overcome and grow, Father, and forgive me. And they pour out their hearts to God. It moves God. Daniel chapter 9 gives an example of Daniel once again. Let's go back to Daniel. But here's a heartfelt prayer from Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. Here Daniel said, "I set my face," this is Daniel 9 verse 3, "I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting." You know, God's servants, what they did? He set a time and set his face to seek God, planned a time to seek God and to make request by prayer and supplicating God. And then, you know, you go to God and you don't just simply say it one time, real simple. You beseech God. You talk to God. Pour out your heart to God. And he says, "I prayed to the Lord my God and I made confession. And I said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." So Daniel, read on. Oh yeah, I wanted to go through verse 5. Notice in verse 5 he says, "We have sinned." And notice he included himself. So maybe what Mr. Kylo is asking us to do, and I think it is because he elaborated on it, but it comes down to an individual responsibility that each one of us as ministers, every elder, every member, we each have to look at our enthusiasm and zeal for God, right? We each have to examine that. Do I have any of it? You know, as I get older, how old am I now? You lose track of time after a while. My next birthday will be June the 5th. Coming up, isn't it? I'll be 68 years old. I was 23 years old when God called me into the church. Back then, we thought, man, it's going to be all over. In 1972, 1975, Christ will have come back. I never thought I'd grow up, get old, get married, and have kids. Now I've got 5 grandkids. And as you get older, you don't lose your love for God or anything, but your energy level, you've been at it for decades, fighting the fight with the human nature, and you can get tired. You can get worn down. And there is a need to renew our fire and our zeal for God. And so here was Daniel, God's servant, coming before God with fasting, repenting, saying, God, we have sinned. We your people. And certainly when you look at the church of God as a whole, not just United, but the church of God as a whole, you have to admit, we have sinned. We are divided. Right? We are divided. There are attitudes that are not right. Or else, if every attitude, let's say this, if every attitude were right, and all the groups of the church of God, and by right, let's just say, the way God would have them be. Why is it that we wouldn't be able to work together? And we're not yet. It's not there. You might say, yeah, because of personalities and this guy's personality and that man's personality. And that's probably true. Human beings have personalities. But my main point is that we as human beings, we do sin too. We do sin. And sometimes we need to plan a fast as an individual and maybe come before God, and that fast we plan for the purpose of God. I know I'm a sinner too, and I fall short. Sometimes my attitudes are not right. I get into bad attitudes or things, I'm not doing things the way that I should. And I'm coming to you to repent of that and to confess that to you, Father, and for all of us, and to pray and fast and confess and ask forgiveness. And ask God to bring change in our lives. And God will do it. Let's look. I mean, God used Daniel mightily because of this man and his heart and spirit. But this example is one that amazes me. 1 Kings 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. You remember the story about King Ahab? Every time I read this, I still marvel at the story. 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse 25. We're going to read down to verse 29. 25 through 29. It says, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And so the word Jezebel has a kind of a negative, bad meaning today, doesn't it? Jezebel, And verse 26 says, he behaved himself very abominably in following idols. So there was idol worship. They were sacrificing children. They had all kinds of wretched practices. Notice in verse 27, and so it was when Ahab heard those words. Now the words being referred to here are back up in verses 17 through 24. But if you just look at verse 17, you see the word of the Lord came to Elijah. So God was speaking to Elijah, his servant, his prophet, and Elijah passed this message on from God to Ahab. And the message was, Ahab, you're going to die. God's going to wipe you out. And when Ahab heard this message, if you want to know the whole message, you could read it, 17 through 24, gives you that message. So when Ahab heard those words from Elijah, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body, and he fasted, and he lay in sackcloth, and he went about mourning. Now, evidently, I mean, what Elijah said really got through to him at this time in his life. And he genuinely repented. He went into a fast. He went into mourning. He recognized what Elijah had said, the message from God. And he must have repented, because look at what happened. In verse 28, it says that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, and here's what God says, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me?" This is what God now is responding. Notice he adds, "Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days, but in the days of his son I will bring the calamity on his house." Because his son was evil too and continued right on in Ahab and Jezebel's ways. So, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, this blows my mind that someone as wicked and evil as Ahab, a person will repent. It's amazing what God will do. So, brethren, you know, if you and I, God's servants, people who love God and are trying to obey God, if we'll do this, how much more would God intervene in our lives if we were doing this regularly, going to God and confessing our sins and our shortcomings? And, you know, you don't have to fast to do it. I know that. But I see it so often in Scripture with God's servants and even like wicked Ahab with fasting. And then God answered. I won't even take the time to go into the story of Nineveh. You know that one. Jonah. Story of Jonah, Nineveh. God sends Jonah, the prophet, to warn Nineveh. And Jonah went into discouragement and depression because, unfortunately, they listened to him and they repented. Remember the story? The king of Nineveh believed Jonah's message from God, and he declared a fast, and the whole nation, every man, woman, and child, and even the animals could meet. And he declared that we should repent of our wickedness. And God did not bring calamity on them at that time. And Jonah went off and pouted about it. He said, "Oh, I'm a false prophet now." So God will respond. It just amazes me, his love and mercy. So it's a very important reason for us as well. I think you all know this scripture from the Passover, but 1 John 1:9, just look at one in the New Testament that reminds us the same thing applies today. 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To forgive us. That's a wonderful reason to fast occasionally. For yourself, or someone you love, for the church, for the work. These examples have been for ourselves. Let me give you another reason, and we'll look at some examples here. Another good reason to fast is to seek God's intervention in any time of a serious trial or trouble. To seek God's intervention. To go to God with fasting and prayer in times of critical and serious situations. The Bible shows that's what we're supposed to do. If it's a critical situation, serious enough, that you want a miracle from God, that use fasting. I mean, at least we can humble ourselves, we can go that extra mile, so to speak, we can seek God in fasting and beseech him for his divine intervention. Let's look at some examples of that, of how fasting was used at a time of serious trials and problems in people's lives in the nation of Israel. 2 Chronicles 20. One of my favorite examples is right here. 2 Chronicles 20. Verses 1-6, first of all. So 2 Chronicles 20. Let's read verses 1-6. "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat." Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. "And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying," some of his probably guards or watchmen, "a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea," from Syria, in that area. Notice verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said in verse 6, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? And he was really pouring out his heart to God. Let's drop down to verse 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. So sometimes, you see, when you're surrounded, or when you feel overwhelmed, or being beaten down, or when you feel Satan is attacking you, or whatever trial, whatever problem, and you don't know what to do, there's always something you can do. When you want God's miraculous intervention, when you want to know His will, and it's serious, plan a fast. Seek God like these men and women do in Scripture. God intervened for Jehoshaphat and Judah because they fasted. And He saved them miraculously. And God sent a message to them and said, hey, don't worry. In verse 17, He said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. So, it's a powerful tool. Wouldn't it be neat? We have a President Bush who is a man who believes, has a religious faith, as you know, believes the Bible and believes in prayer. I read a lot about that. And there's a little book you can pick up. What is it? I remember seeing it at an airport again. Almost bought it. But it's about those who at the White House pray a lot about the decisions to be made by the president and others. They're asking for God's guidance and help. Obviously they're not called to know everything in the God's true plan of salvation. But they do believe in prayer and the power of God. And my point was, wouldn't it be neat if President Bush could declare a day of fasting for our nation? He'd get a lot of criticism and a lot of condemnation for it, wouldn't he? We do have kind of a day of prayer. That's an annual thing. But it's really what our nation needs more often. Our nation of people, like Abraham Lincoln had to do that, remember, in his time, to ask for people to pray and to fast to save the nation, to keep us together. Because we could have ended up north and the south very easily, split nation. Fasting is a tool. It can be very powerful. I'd like to maybe not read it, but tell you about it in the Bible. Esther is another wonderful story of fasting. So you remember the story in Esther, how Haman was the evil guy that hated the Jews and wanted them all killed and deceived the king into issuing a decree to wipe them all out. And lo and behold, God's involved in the story, and Esther becomes queen, is queen, and Mordecai, her uncle, is there to help her, mentor her, and guide her. And, he tells her, Esther, you need to go to the king. Because there was a law. The law was that you could never go to the king unless he called you and asked you. And it was the death penalty. In other words, if you just kind of barged in to see the king, you had to be called by the king. And he wasn't calling her. And so the story goes on that, remember, Esther, she said, and Mordecai suggested that I will fast. And all of my handmaids will fast. And Mordecai asked the brethren to fast, all the Jews to fast. And I will go to the king. And if I die, I die. And so they fasted. And you know the story. God intervened, didn't he? miraculous intervention, and it was Haman who ends up being hanged and the gallows he built for Mordecai. Fasting works. And you find it throughout Scripture. And we need to really remember this. Whether it's crises in our own lives individually or in the church or the work, or when it gets horribly bad for us as a nation. I think we're going to be fasting more to our God. And we'll remember these examples of God's divine intervention in the lives of His people and the lives of His nation at different times. And it's what Jesus did. Let's go back to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4. Parallel account to Matthew 4 here, but it's a little different. So Luke 4, verses 1 through 4. So Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. See, it's worded differently in Luke's account, a little different. In those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So we need to always remember that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, used fasting as a tool to really seek God and to seek God's extra power and strength and help under severe trial and test. There is a power that God will give there, a strength and energy and intervention. If He so chooses, He will work a miracle in our behalf. So we need to be fasting people. I want to give you just one more example and then spend some of the rest of the time talking about how to fast, because I think we all believe in it. But I thought it's always good to go back and review these. But one more reason for fasting. Another obvious reason we'll look at in Scripture for fasting is to fast on the behalf of other people, to fast for others who are suffering or have a trial, and to fast for the church and the work of God as a whole. It's another excellent reason to be a person who does fast once in a while. Let's just go to one scripture on this one. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 27 and 28. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and 28. This is about the Apostle Paul. And here he's telling about trials that he's been through and beatings and deaths often in prisons. Beatings, I said that already. Mentioned several times in here. In shipwrecks, many perils and dangers he mentions in verse 26. But come to verse 27 and 28. Where he's going on in weariness and toil. Yeah, we get that way, don't we? In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst. And hunger and thirst meaning sometimes he couldn't help it. Maybe he was on a shipwreck or didn't have food and water available. And then it adds, in fastings often. And so Paul was a man who believed in fasting often. Fasting means this wasn't that being hungry and thirsty when he couldn't help it. This was Paul fasting. He was planning a fast. And fasting's often. Here's a man who fasted often. And besides the other things, verse 28, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So here's a good example of a man who used this tool of fasting. And you know that Paul fasted often for others, for the benefit and the healing of others. And Paul was a man who was so dedicated and zealous for doing the work of God that he fasted often before God to be humble and for that extra strength that he knew he needed to serve God zealously for all of the years of his life. I'm not even going to bother to go into this reason. I'll just mention it. But I have a book on my shelf. It's entitled The Fast Way to Health. It means physical health. It's written by a doctor. fast way to help. I'm not even going to take time to cover all of the physical benefits that come when you fast. People who fast more regularly are healthier. Because we all know toxins build up in our body. Poisons, just from all the food we eat and the different things we take in, the air, the water, everything. You know, we get toxins. That's why we get sick. Sometimes the toxins or poisons overwhelm our body's own immune system. Fasting is a physical means that God has given for allowing the body to cleanse itself. We know that. We know what it is to get bad breath sometimes when you're fasting. That's what causes it. Your body's throwing off toxins. So that's another whole subject that you could get into, that those who fast regularly are healthier people, not only spiritually, but physically, because it works. And use it wisely. You can have a water fast, you can have a juice fast, you can fast in many different ways. You can have a complete fast. But that's just another side benefit to fasting. So let's close my message now, and the time that I'm remaining, maybe 10-15 minutes at the most here, on how to fast effectively. Because I believe you all want to do it. I want to do it more in my life. And there's some years I've been more diligent at it than others. And then other years, I haven't been diligent at it. See, fasting has to become a habit that you build into your life, like when you learn to pray. When you learn to pray, schedule a time to pray. Because I didn't need to pray. Now, prayer is when you schedule time privately, get off a private, quiet place. And if you can kneel, you know, if you don't have knee problems, if you can kneel, you get down on your knees, the private, when nobody's there, and you look up to God, and I raise my hands, you know, lift your hands and worship God, and I just, Creator, God Almighty, you all do that, I'm sure. Get out and just praise God and thank God and worship God and tell Him I love Him. That's the first great commandment, is to love God with your whole heart and mind and being. And thank God that I love Him because He first loved me before I even knew Him. So you all know that prayer is something we have to build into our lives as a habit, a daily habit. Now, there may be days that, again, we know, unusual circumstances and pressures and things. But you know, even when you can't get out on your knees and pray, I can pray in my car, I can pray walking, I can pray running, I can pray anywhere, anytime. So we're talking about these things that need to become a part of our lives. I mean, that they're so ingrained as character qualities that we refuse not to do them, not to pray. That prayer is part of your character. And studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God is a habit that you've built into your life. Now, it's not an easy one. Hey, it's not easy for ministers either. And so I've really been enjoying the Bible reading program, you know, that United is putting out, that began with, I think, Global and Living, and we're continuing it. It came with us through Christian Fellowship. I think it was, Christian Fellowship began it, and the Bible reading program, because so much research is going into that Bible reading program that it's stimulating. So it's time, I think, to re-examine how we fast and use fasting. So here's just a few pointers then. Maybe you already do all of these things. If you do, I congratulate you. If you do, good on you. If you're like me and you want to do better and improve, here's some things to consider. Number one, that you must consider your health, because God does. You need to understand the condition of your health. If you have hypoglycemia, blood sugar problems, diabetes, any kind of health problem like that, you need to be very careful and very wise. God would not expect you to fast in the same way some people I know, I've got some good friends, and they're just so robust, and their metabolism is so good, they get up in the morning and don't even have breakfast and go off to work, and usually their first meal is they stop and grab a little bit of lunch and then work, and their main meal is dinner in the evening, and they just got that kind of a stable metabolism about them and the way they're built and good health. Well, you know what? God would expect more of them. So the first thing, and this was a tough lesson learned to someone who died. You can be very well-meaning. Well, I'm just going to fast and do it. I don't want anybody, God doesn't want anybody going into a diabetic coma and dying or having blood sugar drop so low that you just go into depression. So understand that God does look upon the heart and he does look upon our frail flesh and he does understand what we are able and capable of doing effectively. So how you fast then should be determined by your state of health. The second point is determine how long you want to fast. Do you want to Now, see, the only commanded fast in the Bible is the Day of Atonement, from evening to evening, 24 hours. So we all know that one. So we know there's a 24-hour fast. But do you know that you can fast for shorter periods of time? There was a time when Leanne and I were going through a serious, serious trial and problem in the church. And what we decided to do, and we were able to do it with our schedule, we decided to miss one meal every day. Every day we'd miss whether we chose lunch. And instead of eating lunch, both of us would spend an hour in prayer and Bible study instead of eating. So you can decide to miss a meal. And that's a very short fast, you know, than it was we didn't eat again until dinner. But I'm just trying to help you to think here that fasting, you can be missing one meal, you can miss two meals, you could miss a day's meal. That'd be a day's fast, wouldn't it? So fasting is doing without food and water. That's what it means to fast. You can be flexible in your fasting. But it really helps when you plan a fast to determine how long you're going to fast. Set a time limit and stick with it. Okay, because it's not easy to fast. I've confessed that there have been times when I broke my fast. I didn't have the character to stick with it because somebody called or, hey, can you go out to dinner tonight? I don't want to take you out to dinner. I said, well, I can fast another day. So I went out to dinner. So it can be real easy to break a fast and maybe not complete it and stick with it if you haven't set the time. I probably should have said, you know, thank you. I really appreciate it. Can I take a rain check? I'm just not going to be able to make it this evening. So determine how long you want to fast. Miss one meal, two, three, whole day fasting, longer. Be careful going several days, unless you have really good health, without wise advice. Longest I've ever fasted is 3 days. A few times, not very often, but it was always a real critical situation. 1995 was one of those. I was the pastor in Southern California in 1995 and the regional pastor of the Southwest. So I was right there in the heat of what was going on up at Pasadena. And it wasn't easy and it wasn't fun. So there will come times when the pressure is on and it takes that extra effort just to go seek God with prayer and fasting. Keep your head on straight to make the right decisions. A third tip, and maybe I've already almost stated that, is in fasting it always helps to have a specific purpose or reason for your fast. So it's know exactly why you're going to fast. Plan that reason. Now, next Sabbath, everybody knows the reason, right? Mr. Clyde Kylo, our new president, has asked us all to fast for the growth of the church, for the work. And it really helps to fast to choose a reason, to fast for a person, someone you love, someone who's sick, someone who's dying, something, a breakthrough in your own life, some aspect of the church or the work. Have a purpose for it. Take that purpose and reason to God. And God, who lives in secrets and sees in secret, will reward you openly. So having a purpose and a reason for fasting helps a tremendous amount. I bring that one out because I knew a man in the church many years ago, and he was a hard-working guy, and he worked all the time, except when he came to church. And he said, well, and we kind of got into this discussion. He said, well, I fast a lot. I don't have time to eat. Sometimes I'm working, and he's kind of like a guy that I told you, robust and good metabolism, and he could almost go all day long and eat just one meal at night. And he said, well, I fast a lot. I don't need to fast anymore. I fast because I don't have time to eat. And I said, well, you're just getting hungry then and thirsty. Because, see, he didn't take any time for extra prayer or Bible study at all. He just fasted all day long while he worked. So I guess on his mind, he felt that was, in my mind, that would not be enough for me. Just if I can't, while I'm fasting, use some of that time where I would normally be eating off on my knees, seeking God and reading His Word and praying about what I'm fasting for, then all I'm doing is going hungry. I said, don't you think it'd be better? You know, you're working all day, and that's good, but, you know, that's not the kind of fasting I'm talking about. I'm talking about fasting where you take extra time during that fast for spiritual purposes and reasons. So I don't know if he ever did or not on that one. And so my next point is this one on effective fasting. You probably know these things. You've heard them over the years. That it's best to fast on a day when you have more time for rest and sleep. It's best not to fast on your hardest work day. Okay, because it'd be better to fast on a day when you know you're going to have a lighter schedule, a lighter day, extra time. Maybe you could even sneak in a nap if you're a nap person. And maybe you could even plan in a little more time praying and studying and seeking God. So that's a good one. That helps a lot. To plan your fast days when you have more time to seek God and to rest. And to make it a profitable day of fasting. An enjoyable day. And a general guide on fasting. And this is just a guide. I don't know how much you fast, each of you here. That's between you and God, actually. How much you fast. But a general guide, and that's all it is, because there's no law in the Bible that says you have to do what I'm about to recommend. But I recommend that you plan a fast day about once each month. Because that way it helps it to become a habit, a part of your life. There's plenty to fast about in the church and in your own life. Like I said, you don't have to do that. But if you do it, I think you'll see positive benefits. Because, see, on your planning calendar, I use a planning calendar to keep them. I don't yet have all my stuff on the computer, but you can do it that way too. But it's really easy, month at a time, to look ahead on that month and say, next month, this is the day that I'm going to plan to be the best day for fasting. It's easy to plan it that way, one day a month. It becomes a habit. And there's always somebody in the church with a serious health problem or some need in the church somewhere in the world or whatever. Always serious situations that I can fast about, that we can fast about and take to God. And it really does work. It really helps. It really makes a difference. Now, if you happen to have members, non-member mates, if you happen to have a wife or a husband or children that are not in the church and think you're crazy for fasting or nuts or that you're going to die, use wisdom. Be careful. Just use wisdom in your fasting. God understands your circumstances. If it's not easy for you to fast because of family dynamics or something, remember, God understands those things. And the main thing is you should be able to figure out some way to fast when you understand that God has not set a bunch of rules in the Bible that you have to do it on this day and you have to do it exactly this long, you know, God's left pretty open, flexible. Except for that one day a year, God says, I want you to fast. Yes, you should do it, but you can do it any time you want to, day or night, any day of the week, any week of the month, any month of the year, as many times as you want to. It's up to you. And what a wonderful God that way. But it is an incredible tool. So in closing, let's go to one final scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Real beautiful verse. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So let's remember, brethren, the next Sabbath when you begin your fast and as we fast that week, let's just be positive and joyful about it. Let's thank God that He's given us fasting as a something that's good for us spiritually, good for us physically. So I hope that you'll start looking at fasting in a more positive way and that you'll start using it in your life more effectively.